like to welcome all of you to an Assurance Summer Learning Program. Once again, it's an honor to have FSAX join us for the 5 weeks. This summer program is being sponsored once again by Joanne and Ephraim Zayat, and we thank them for their support. The B'nai Assurance Summer Learning Program is being dedicated this year Le'ila Nishmas Ariel Chana Small, Ariel Chana Bas Nachum Eliyahu Halevi Aleha Shalom. This evening's topic is Sudas Yom Tov V'chove Gadol Rastak.
Thank you, Jackie. I as well want to echo words of thanks to the Zayat family for sponsoring the series of Shiurim this summer as well. Last year we were discussing various aspects of the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif. We pointed out to Machlokes Rishonim whether the mitzvah of Samachta Begech B'zman Hazeh is a mitzvah daraisa, that is the view of Rov Rishonim, the view of the Rambam Shita, or Tosus Shita, Moed Katan Daf Yedalim Abeis, that the mitzvah of Simcha B'zman Hazeh, without a Beis Hamikdash, without being Olaregel, is only a mitzvah derabana. And we left off discussing various aspects and differences between the mitzvah of Sukkah, of Simcha, as opposed to that of Kavod and Oneg. On Shabbos, there is the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos. And the Gemara tells us in Sochem and Daf Kufei that requires that one must have a Suda. And the question is, what about regarding Yontif? To what extent do we apply that there is the mitzvah of Oneg, and what are the differences between the obligation of Simcha as opposed to that of Oneg Yontif? Rabbi Gregor points out in the very first tshuva that Simcha requires that there must be some form of achila on each day of Yontif, but it does not necessarily require that it must be a complete suda al hapas. The mitzvah of Simcha, for example, applies on Chol HaMoed. One cannot fast on Chol HaMoed, but there is no chiv to have a sudas lechem for each day of Chol HaMoed. The Mechaber writes in Kuf Peches, if a person, for example, fails to recite Ritzei on Shabbos, you're obligated to repeat the benching. You forget to say Yalav Yavo on Yontif, you're obligated to repeat. This would not apply, however, when it comes to Chol HaMoed. In that instance, since there wasn't a chiv suda al halechem, in such a case, if you bench and fail to mention Yalav Yavo, you don't repeat the Birchas HaMazon. The difference, Rabbi Kileger points out, is as follows, and this no doubt is a great chiddush, a machlokes haposkim. Women are obligated in the mitzvah of Kavod and Oneg Shabbos. This is what the Ran tells us in the Sugi and Shabbos and the Kufiyat Zayin and Mudbeis, that women are obligated in Shalashuddis, women are obligated in Lechinishna, even though one would have thought that those are examples of a mitzvah to say Shehazman Grama. It's a time-bound mitzvah, and perhaps one could have envisioned that women would be exempt. Rabbi Nutam comments that the reason women are obligated Lechinishna in Suda Shabbos is because both of those obligations are a Zecha Laman, and we apply the principle of Avchein Hayyaba Oso Hanes. If we're commemorating the man, that was the miracle that applied to women and men alike, and in such an instance, all are obligated in Lechemishna, all are obligated in Shalashuddis. It's interesting, the Gemara never mentions that application of Avchein Hayyaba Oso Hanes. The Gemara Megillah Daf Dalet, when it comes to Kriyas HaMegillah, and Shabbos Chaf Gimel when it comes to Ner Chanukah, Sochim Kuches when it comes to Dalet Kosos, those are the three examples of Avchein Hayyaba Oso Hanes. Because in those cases, the very essence of the mitzvah is to commemorate the Nes itself. And interestingly, in all of those cases, Chazal were misaken a special bracha, al hanes, the bracha of Shasanisim, or at the Seder night, the bracha of Asher Golanu. This is not the case when it comes to Suda Shabbos, Suda Chemishna, but nonetheless, Rabbi Natan maintains that we can apply the principle of Avchein Hayyaba Oso Hanes. The Ran comments that it's not necessary to invoke that principle at all, but that is part of the drush of the Gemara Brachos and Davchav, Zachar v'Shamar, the Dibur Echad Nemru. And just as women are obligated to refrain from Malach on Shabbos, and hence they're obligated in Kiddush, that doesn't only apply to Kiddush, but it applies to all positive elements and aspects of Shabbos, including Suda Shabbos, including Lechem Mishnah as well. What about when it comes to Yom Tov? Rabbi Kaveger suggests perhaps a somewhat difficult distinction that women are obligated in the mitzvah of oneg on Shabbos, but not necessarily when it comes to Yontif. And therefore, Rabbi Kaveger writes, on the day of Yontif itself, women cannot fast because they're obligated, as the Rambam writes, the mitzvah of Simcha, but technically speaking, they're exempt from Kiddush, exempt from Oneg, and therefore, if women will bench on Yom Tov and fail to recite Yalav Yavo, they don't repeat the Birchas HaMazon. That's what Rabbi Kaveger writes in the very first Tshuva, Tshuvas Rabbi Kaveger. Many poskim disagree with that possibility, and many assume that no, that just as when it comes to Shabbos, women are obligated in Suda Shabbos, obligated in Lechem Mishnah, the same thing is true when it comes to Yantif as well, and of course our practice is that women have a complete Suda Alapas, not only on Shabbos, but even on Yantif as well. So the mitzvah of Simcha requires some form of Akila, but it doesn't require Pas. One nafkamina is Palamoy. The second difference is what Rabbi Kaveger suggests regarding the obligation of women in Sudas Yantif. Perhaps the same can apply to a different case, and that is the obligation of Sudas Purim. One of the mitzvahs Hayom, of course, is to have a Purim Suda. However, there's no mitzvah of Oneg when it comes to Purim, but there is an element of Simchas Purim. And as we discussed, if Simcha requires Achila, but it does not necessarily require a Suda Hapas, one could raise the issue regarding a Sudas Purim. Is it necessary, for example, to wash when it comes to a Sudas Purim? Let's assume, for example, a person washes and benches and fails to recite Alanisin. In such a case, do they repeat or do they not? There is a Chiyuv Suda. It's not exactly necessary like a case of Rosh Chodesh where you're not Chozeh, but do we assume that that Suda requires Pas? Because it's not rooted in the mitzvah of Oneg, but rather it is a function of the mitzvah of Simcha. When the Rambam in Hilchos Megillah emphasizes the obligation of Suda, the Rambam writes that one should have a Suda Nar, and the Rambam stresses Basar Vayayin, but it's interesting, the Rambam does not mention there's a need to have Pas at that particular Suda. And in fact, the Magen Avraham assumes la halacha, that if a person fails to recite Alanisim, one is not Chozer in Birchas HaMazon when it comes to Purim. It's similar to Rosh Chodesh, it's similar to Chol HaMoed, where there is a mitzvah sachiva, but at the same time, a full Suda is not required. There is the view of the Ravya, but we do not assume like la halacha. Ravya writes, if you forget Alanisim, one is obligated to go ahead and to repeat the Birchas HaMazon on Purim, but we assume as the Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham writes that the Al Hanisim in benching is not going to be more chamor, more stringent than Al Hanisim in Tfilah. And in Tfilah, if a person fails to recite Al Hanisim, one is not chozer, and the same thing is true when it comes to Al Hanisim in Birchas HaMazon as well. But there is the Me'iri Mesechet Beis on Daf Tesvav, that maintains that on Purim one is obligated to have a Suda together with Pas, similar to that which one has on Shabbos and Yontif. So Purim is another fascinating example where one of the mitzvahs Hayom is Suda, there is an obligation of Simcha, but yet there is no mitzvah of Oneg, and Oneg requires a full-fledged Suda. There is even a further example, this is what the Menchas Chinuch discusses in Mitzvah Shin Yud Gimel, when it comes to the element of Achila on Erev Yom Kippur. The Gemara tells us in Yuman Daf Tei Aleph Mabeis that one is obligated to eat on Erev Yom HaKippurim. Kol ha'ochel b'tshi u'misane ba'asiri ki'ilu misane b'tshi v'asiri. One is obligated to eat on the 9th, and a person is obligated, of course, to fast on the 10th. But there is an element, a mitzvah Achila on Erev Yom HaKippurim. In fact, the Nitziv raises an interesting issue. This is also a suffix of Rabbi Kaveger. What is the nature of the mitzvahs achila on Erev Yom HaKippurim? Is it simply a hachana for the tainis? That's what Rashi seems to indicate. Rashi writes, Yuma Pe'alef Abeis, that haskein atzmecha b'tshi, prepare yourself on day 9, kidei shiyachol his anos v'asiri, in order that you can fast on the 10th. The implication of Rashi is the purpose of Achilat Erev Yom Kippur is the Hachana for the Tainis. It's interesting, that Gemara is found not only in Yuma Daf Pe'alef, but also Rosh Hashanah Daf Tes. There, Rosh Hashanah Daf Tes, Rashi writes something very differently. Rashi does not describe the Achilan Erev Yom Kippur as a Hachana for the Tainis, but rather as an independent mitzvah sachila. Every Yontif, every Shabbos, there is a mitzvah of Oneg. You cannot fulfill the mitzvah achila of Oneg on Yom Kippur itself. So therefore, the Chibanto, for example, we fulfill Iksus Nekiah, wearing fine clothing. Where is there a mitzvah sachila? Perhaps one could suggest that is what is driving the mitzvah sachila on Erev Yom Kippurim, to demonstrate the special character of Erev Yom Kippur and Yom Kippur as a form of a yontif, not necessarily as a hachana for the taimis. But the Kivager, for example, questions, if a person is a chola who is not going to be fasting on Yom Kippur, is it necessary to have achila on Erev Yom Kippurim? If it's only a hachana for the taimis, no. If it's an independent mitzvah, then perhaps yes. Are women obligated in the mitzvah achila on Erev Yom Kippurim? Or maybe one should argue that's a mitzvah to say Shahazman, Grumman, perhaps women are exempt. But Tzipesa Frank writes, if you assume it's an independent mitzvah, then you can raise the issue, are women obligated in this mitzvah, or are they not? But should you argue the purpose of achila is hachana, preparation for the taimis, very reasonable to assume whoever is obligated to fast on Yom Kippur is obligated to eat on Erev Yom Kippurim. So perhaps those two differences, a chola or a woman regarding Erev Yom Kippurim. The Tzipei Sefrank writes that perhaps if a woman is ill and she will not be fasting on Yom Kippur, then she certainly doesn't have to eat at Erev Yom Kippurim, because either it's a hachana for the tainis and she's not fasting, or it's an independent mitzvah and it's considered to be a mitzvah to say shahazman grama. But the mitzvah sachil on Erev Yom Kippurim also is somewhat similar. There's no really full mitzvah oneg like on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, but there is a mitzvah achila. Is it necessary to have pas at the achila of Erev Yom HaKippurim? That's what the Minchas Chinuch phrases. And the Minchas Chinuch, interestingly, compares that to Purim, where there's a mitzvah achila, but it doesn't necessarily require that you have to have pas, because there's no mitzvah oneg, and therefore he writes that perhaps the same is true when it comes to Erev Yom Kippur. So Minchas Chinuch writes two chidushim. Kiddush number one, Shinya Gimel, the pas is not necessary for the Suda on Erev Yom Kippur. Kiddush number two is the following. What is the shear? How much do you have to eat on Erev Yom Kippur to fulfill this mitzvah achila? Well, achila always is a kazayis. However, what is the shear of achila on Yom Kippur? It is not a kazayis, because the Torah never tells us literally that you're not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. And the Torah tells us, v'inisem es nafsho seichem, tanu es nafsho seichem. You're obligated to afflict yourself. You have to avoid tanug. And therefore, the Gemara tells us it is not the same shear as achila. Achila always is kazayis. But if the Torah doesn't use the term achila, it is not kazayis. If a person makes a shvua, for example, shvua shlo ochal, I will not eat, the shear is a kazayis. If I make a neder, that konam la'kikar zev, this loaf is forbidden to me, I didn't mention the word achila. And therefore, the shear is not a kazayis. So unless you're dealing with an iser achila, the shear will not be necessarily a kazayis at all. And therefore the shear of Yom Kippurim is a larger one, not a kazayis, but rather a koseves. So Minchas Chinuch suggests an interesting kiddush. If the mitzvah achila and Erev Yom Kippur goes hand in hand with the iser achila of Erev Yom Kippur, his kiddush is maybe on Erev Yom Kippur it's not enough to eat the kazayis, you have to eat a koseves. Therefore, the two chidushim of Minchas Chinuch. You don't have to have pas, but you have to eat more on Erev Yom Kippur than technically speaking a mitzvah sachila would require. So these are fascinating models where there is a mitzvah sachila, but there is technically speaking no mitzvah of oneg. On the case of Chol HaMoed, perhaps the obligation of women regarding yontif, the issue of a sudas purim, and perhaps the mitzvah sachila when it comes to Erev Yom Kippur itself. As mentioned, when it comes to Shabbos and Yom Tov, of course there is a mitzvah of Oneg, and that requires a full, elaborate Suda al Habas. And in fact, there are two different makoros for the need to have a Suda Shabbos. One, as I mentioned, is what the Gemara writes in Shochim and Daf Kufay, the Pasuk of the Kerasa L'Shabbos, Oneg, Yishayin and Ches. And Oneg is fulfilled through the mitzvah of Sukkah. That is one of the manifestations of Oneg Shabbos. And in fact, the Gemara debates that which element, which half of Shabbos, has a heightened level of Oneg, the Oneg Balayla or the Oneg Bayom. And the Gemara writes that the Iker mitzvah of Oneg is in fact Bayom. And therefore, if a person has a certain delicacy to utilize that during the day of Shabbos as opposed to the night of Shabbos. But clearly, there is a mitzvah of Oneg. That requires a Sudas Shabbos. And then you come to the Gemara in Shabbos and the Kuf Yud Zayin, where the Gemara quotes a very different source for the Chiyuv of Sudas Shabbos. The Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Parshas Bishalach regarding the Mom. The Torah tells us, Ichlu Hayom, eat on this day, Shabbos Hayom LaHashem, Hayom of Simsuhu Basadeh. Eat on this day. The word Hayom is mentioned three times in the Pasuk. And therefore, Rav Chidka, who we don't Paskenite, says that one is obligated to have a Suda at night and three Sudas during the day. 3 plus 1. And we obviously assume as the Shita Sahachamim, and that is that no, Ichlu Hayom embraces all of the Suda Shabbos, and therefore one is obligated to have 3 Sudas on Shabbos itself. So if one were to ask you, what is the pasuk that indicates the need to have a Suda Shabbos? Well, the answer is, the Sugyan Shabbos, Kuf Yitzayin, Ichlu Hayom, the Sugyan Sachem Daf Kufay, the Karasula Shabbos, Oneg. Is there a difference between Ichlu Hayom as opposed to the mitzvah of Oneg? Whenever you have multiple sources for a similar halacha, so it always drives the question, why are 2 psukim necessary? And what are the differences between the obligation of Ichlu Hayom as opposed to the mitzvah of Oneg? One simple difference is the following, and that is the number of sudos. How many sudos is one obligated to have? Oneg does not require 3 sudos. The Gemara is clear in Sochim and Daf Kufay. Oneg requires 2 sudos. More specifically, it requires a suda balayla and a suda bayom. And that was the issue that the Gemara raised. What is the ikar mitzvahs oneg? At night, during the day, as mentioned, the Bavli writes bayom, the Zohar writes that balayla. An unusual application of machlokas between the Shas Bavli and the Zohar, what is the ikar mitzvah of oneg? But it's clear. Oneg requires 2 meals, but more specifically, a meal at night and a meal during the day. Ichlu Hayom obviously requires that one must have 3 meals. So if I only had Oneg, I would know night, day. The Pasuk of Ichlu Hayom tells us that's insufficient, but one is obligated to have 3 meals, and according to Rav Chidka, even 4 meals. See, it's clear, according to Rav Chidka, the Pasuk says you have to have 3 meals, and the Pasuk is referring to the day. Well, how do you know that you must have a meal at night altogether? How does Rav Chidka get to 4? Maybe the answer is 3, but 3 during the day. No, the answer is Oneg. Oneg requires that you have to have a meal at night. So according to Rav Chidka, the meal at night is Oneg, the 3 meals during the day is Ichlu Hayom. The way we assume halacha now, there are 2 kiyumin. When it comes to the meal at night and the meal during the day, Oneg as well as Ichlu Hayom. So therefore, when a person has meal 1, meal 2 on Shabbos, very different halachos. It's a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Oneg, but also rooted in the pasuk of Ichlu Hayom. And now I'll ask you the following. That's good when it comes to Shabbos. What about when it comes to Yantif? Sudas Yantif. How many sudos is one obligated to have? Oneg not only applies on Shabbos. Oneg applies on Yantif as well. That's what the Rambam writes in Perek Vav of Hilchos Yantif. That just as there's a mitzvah of kavod and oneg on Shabbos, the same thing applies when it comes to yantif as well. Good, the pasuk says the karasul is Shabbos oneg. But Shabbos, as the Rambam explains, means a yom hashmisa, literally, a day of rest. After all, the mitzvah of kiddush, zachar yom haShabbos bekadsho, the Rambam writes kiddush is not only on Shabbos, even on yantif as well. Yantif also is referred to as Shabbos. There's also an element, a mitzvah of Shabbosim. That's why we count Omer Makras a Shabbos. It means the day after Yom Tov, because after all, the term Shabbos is not a unique reference to Shabbos itself, but rather it refers generally to a Yom HaShvisa, and in such a case it can apply even when it comes to Yontif as well. So therefore the Rambam writes that the mitzvah of Oneg applies on Yontif, and therefore a person is obligated to have two meals on Yontif, more specifically a meal at night followed by a meal during the day. And what about that pasuk of Ichluhu Hayom? As mentioned, that pasuk is found in Parshas Bishalach. And that pasuk commemorates Zaman. Ichlu Hayom, and Hayom lo simsu basadeh. Today, you are not supposed to be found in the field gathering Zaman. Is that true on Yom Tov, or is that not? Did Bnei Yisrael gather Zaman on Yom Tov, or no? That just as a double portion of man fell on Erev Shabbos, the same thing is true when it comes to Erev Yontif as well. So Tosfos writes in the very beginning of Maseches Beis, the Daf Beis and the Beis, Hamidrashim Chalukim Bazeh. You find different answers in Midrashim. Certain Midrashim seem to indicate that the fact that a double portion of man fell on Erev Shabbos and the man did not fall on Shabbos was only true when it comes to Shabbos. On Yontif, Ol Kol Nefesh is Mutter. And therefore, Bnei Yisrael went out and they gathered the man. And Tosfos' other Midrashim seem to indicate that it's not true at all, that a dual portion of man fell on Erev Yontif, and they would gather, and they would not go out on the fields, on Yontif itself, in order to collect the man. It's not only an issue of historically, what happened years ago, but the halachos of Zecher Laman, are they limited to Shabbos, or do they apply on Yontif as well? And here, our practice, halacha, is a somewhat interesting split. The most common practice, of course, is not to have Shalosh Shudas on Yontif. The Mechaber in the very end of Hilchos Yontif, Tavkuf Chafes, writes that you have to have two meals on Yontif, but you don't have to have Shalosh Shudas on Yontif. That's against the Rambam. The Rambam in Perek Lamed of Hilchos Shabbos requires a third Suda not only on Shabbos, but even on Yontif as well. The Mechaber does not quote this Rambam. The Mechaber assumes on Yontif two meals. There's no need to have a third meal. I would have said, what is true of Shalosh Shudas is also true of Lecha Mishnah. It's the same Gemara. Shabbos Kuf Yad Zayin Rebeis. The Gemara says, I'll give you examples of Zecher Laman, Lecha Mishnah, Shalosh Shudas. It's an interesting split, Rabbeinu Manoah, in the Franco Rambam. They have the Pirush of Rabbeinu Manoah. In Perchet, of Chuschamit, the Matzah, Rabbeinu Manoah is troubled by our split, and he attributes it to Sukkim, that on Yontif we insist on the Chemishna, as though to indicate that the man did not fall on Yontif, a double portion of man fell on Erev Yontif, but yet we don't have the third Sudra. It's an interesting split. The Rambam seems to indicate that both are necessary. And if the Mansul and Yontif, maybe one could argue that neither are required. But we split. Rabbi Nemanoach writes, since the Torah keeps on emphasizing, Ichlu Hayom, Ki Shabbos Hayom LaShem, Hayilom Simsu Basadze, perhaps it means uniquely true on Shabbos, not when it comes to Yontif. So we assume the halacha that that pasuk of Ichlu Hayom is Shabbos, and not when it comes to Yontif. So I ask you a simple question then. If that's true, that Ichlu Hayom is limited to Shabbos, and doesn't apply on Yontif, well then what is the basis of Sudas Yontif? If it's not the Pasuk of Ichlu Hayom, and the answer is the mitzvah of Oneg. Oneg applies on Shabbos and on Yontif, which means when a person, for example, has a meal on Lel Shabbos, he's fulfilling the mitzvah of Oneg as well as Ichlu Hayom. When a person has a Sudas Yontif, it is the mere fulfillment of Oneg, there is no obligation of Ichlu Hayom. So Oneg requires two meals, a meal at night, a meal during the day. Ichlu Hayom requires the third meal. And that is why we assume that on Yom Tov two meals, yes, three meals, no, but on Shabbos, when I was obligated to have Shalosh Shudas. So one difference simply is the number of meals one is obligated to have, and a second difference is this question of its application to Yom Tov. A third difference, Oneg, we mentioned, requires a full Suda. A Suda al Hapas. If a person forgets, would say, you have to repeat the Birchas HaMazon. What about Ichlu Hayom? Oneg means you have a full festive meal. Ichlu Hayom, eat on this day. Well, we've mentioned that achila does not necessarily require a full suda. You can have a mitzvah sachila on Purim, a mitzvah sachila on Erev Yom Kippur, a mitzvah sachila on Chol HaMoed on Rosh Chodesh, but it doesn't require a full meal at all. What about this Iflu Hayom? And that, as you know, is a fundamental machlokas Rishonim. Those are the various views in Shulchan Aruch, in Simen Reish Tzadi Aleph, as to whether it is necessary to wash and to have pas at Shalosh Shavuos. And therefore the Mechaber quotes this as the machlokas Rishonim, and his suggestion is the following, that therefore one should see to it to wash for Shalosh Shavuos, to fulfill the view, the Rosh, the Mordechai, that day that they cite, that even Ichlu Hayom requires pas as well. However, the Mechaber hedges himself a little bit in Simen Kuf Peches. Kuf Peches, we mentioned, is the Simen. What happens if a person forgets Yalav Yavo? What happens if a person should wash at Shalosh Shavuos and bench and forget Ritzei? So that's where the Mechaber writes in Kuf Peches that Dino Kerosh Chodesh. The Mechaberites, I acknowledge that there are several views. So therefore, ideally one yes should wash. However, if that is somewhat questionable, if one washes, benches, forget to say Ritzei, in such an instance, then you don't repeat the Birchas HaMazon. And why is it that it's repeated at meal one and meal two? The answer is, Suda Aleph, Suda Beis, that is the mitzvah Oneg. And therefore that, Lesman Zepalim, that certainly requires a full meal. The only question is, when it comes to Shalosh Shavuos, which is uniquely rooted in Ichlu Hayom, that is the question whether a pas is needed, and there we split, we assume, ideally, l'chatchila yes, but yevet a person would not repeat the benching if he forgot to recite Ritzei on Shabbos. So therefore, that third difference, a difference in terms of the number of meals, a difference in terms of Shabbos versus Yom Tov, and a difference in terms of the quality of the Suda. Do you require a Suda la pas, or is other forms of achila considered to be sufficient? A further difference. The Mechaber writes an interesting halacha in Reish Tzadi Aleph as follows. Let's assume, for example, for whatever reason, a person does not have a meal on Friday night. The person is a little tired, he dozes off, he wakes up at Shabbos morning. Right? He didn't have a suda on Lel Shabbos. So what do you do? So the Mechaber writes a very interesting chiddush that have an extra meal during the day of Shabbos. You didn't have your meal on Friday night, okay, but have a third meal. After all, the pasuk says Ichlu Hayom. We derive from there the need to have three sudas. How exactly does that work? At first glance, it almost sounds like a din tashlumin. A person didn't daven Mariv, so daven an extra tilas shachris. You didn't have a meal at night, so therefore have an extra meal during the day. Of course, what's difficult with that is the following. Tosus writes in Brachos and Daf Chavav that the whole basis of Tashlumin is that is because Tefillah is Rachameninu. And Halavai Shistala Adam Kol Hayam Kulo. It's always appropriate to daven. So therefore, if you miss, we understand daven additionally, because davening is always appropriate. But normally speaking, when it comes to other mitzvahs, you missed. Where do you find that there's an opportunity to go ahead and to make that up? So also see some comments when it comes to tefillah. If you were to have a tefillah which is not rachamim, there is no tashlumin. And therefore Tosus explains that for whatever reason a person didn't daven musaf, you can't make it up. There's no tashlumin for musaf because musaf is not rachamim. Musaf is keneged HaKarban, and therefore Avor Zmano, Batel Karbano, there is no opportunity to make up a miss Tfilas Musaf. So if a person failed to daven, we understand there's Tashlumin. A person didn't have a meal the Lel Shabbos. So make it up, have an additional meal during the day. What type of Tashlumin is there when it comes to Suda Shabbos? And perhaps the answer is the following. This is not Tashlumin at all. But rather, these are the two psukim. There's the mitzvah of Oneg. Oneg requires a suda at night, requires a second suda during the day. Good. But then there's a further pasuk of Ichlu Hayom that tells us one must have a total of three meals during the day of Shabbos. So I would suggest the following. If a person doesn't have a meal on Friday night, The reason he has an additional meal during the day of Shabbos is not tashlumin for the missed oneg, the Lel Shabbos, but rather it's simply to accommodate Ichlu Hayom, a total of 3 meals. If that's true, I'll tell you an interesting possibility, albeit this is against the Magen Avraham. The Mechaber writes in Reish Sadi Aleph, you don't have a meal on Friday night, have an extra meal during the day of Shabbos. One would have expected that in Hilchos Yontif, in Tavkuf Chavtes, the Mechaber should tell us the same halacha. If a person didn't have a meal on the night of Yontif, so have another meal during the day of Yontif. The Mechaber does not say that. Why does the Mechaber mention this only in Hilchos Shabbos and not in Hilchos Yontif? Maybe one could argue, well, what is true of Shabbos is also true of Yontif. It's not necessary for the Mechaber to repeat himself, but according to this, no, that's not true at all. It's not that you are making up the missed opportunity of Oneg Shabbos. The reason that you have an additional meal is because of Ichlu Hayom. And the Mechaber assumes Ichlu Hayom only applies on Shabbos and not on Yontif. Therefore, if you miss a meal at night on Yontif, you don't make it up. There's no tashlumin for the mitzvah of Oned. What is driving that additional meal is the pasuk of Ichlu Hayom. And perhaps that is why the Mechaber only tells us this halach in Hilchos Shabbos, not in Hilchos Yontif. I mention it's against Magen Avraham, because the Magen Avraham in Hilchos Yontif writes, what the Mechaber says is true in Shabbos, is also true when it comes to Yontif. You miss the meal at night, make it up during the day. Apparently the Magen Avraham understood that there is an element of tashlumin when it comes to the mitzvah of Onen. So I'll ask you the following question. A person didn't have a meal on Friday night. He asks you what to do. So you tell him, says in Shulchan Aruch, Reish Sadi Aleph, have an additional meal during the day. So he has 3 meals during the day of Shabbos. So if I were to ask you, his first meal, what is that? I would tell you that is the mitzvah of Oneg Bayom, and that's the mitzvah of Ichlu Hayom. What about the second meal? That's not Oneg. There's no tashlumin for Oneg. That is just Ichlu Hayom. What about the third meal? Of course, that's Ichlu Hayom as each and every Shabbos. So the person, dutifully, he didn't have his meal on Lel Shabbos. He has 3 meals during the day of Shabbos. You know what? He forgets Ritzei in the second meal. So the Birkei Yosef writes, in Reish Sadi Aleph, he doesn't repeat Birkei Samazon. That second meal is like Shalosh Shudis. How is that like Shalosh Shudis? This is the second Shabbos meal. Oh, you understand very well. It's like Shalosh Shudis exactly, because what is driving that meal is not the mitzvah of Oneg, but rather it is Ichlu Hayom, and Ichlu Hayom does not require that you repeat the Birkei Samazon. And therefore, that's the Pesach Halach of Birkei Yosef, and that's somewhat unusual case. Didn't have a meal Friday night, 3 meals during the day, forgets to say in the second or the third meal. In such a case, one does not repeat the Birkei Samazon. These are a few differences between the obligation of Ichlu Hayom as opposed to the case of the mitzvah of Oneg. A further possibility. Aside from those earlier differences, very common this time of year. A person, let's say, davens Friday night early. You daven Marv early? The Gemara writes that that's what Rav used to do. Rav Tzolish Ol Shabbos, the Erev Shabbos, that Rav certainly used to go ahead and do so earlier. The Sugi and Shav and Brachos and Daf, Chav Zayin. What about Kiddush? The Gemara says, yes, Rav used to make Kiddush early as well. Used to daven, used to make Kiddush, fine. What about when it comes to Sudah Shabbos? So going back several years, we discussed at length the mitzvah of Tosefta Shabbos, and we pointed out an interesting machlokes, the Tazma Marshal, when a person is Mosif Mechol HaKodesh, to what extent has he transformed the day? Is it now considered to be the day of Shabbos? Or perhaps no, it is still Friday, but through the vehicle, the tool of Tosefes, I have imposed an Isra Malacha. But push comes to shove, you'll ask me, what day is it? I will tell you, the day of Shabbos has not yet begun. When it comes to Sudah Shabbos, as we mentioned, the Pasuk says, Ichluhu Hayom, eat on this day. And therefore, a critically relevant issue, when a person will daven at the early minyan, can you fulfill the mitzvah of Sudah during Tosefta Shabbos? In Siman Reish Tani Aleph, this is an achlokas, the Taz and the Marsha. The Taz is of the opinion that absolutely is. When you're Mosif Mechol Al Kodesh, the language of the Taz at length, the Taz discusses this at length elsewhere, Tafrei Samaches, that's the Siman of Shmini Atzeres. And that's where the Taz deals with the following dilemma. A person begins Shmini Atzeres early. What does he do now with Yeshiva Sukkah? On the one hand, it's still light outside. It looks like it's Hoshana Rabba. But he accepted upon himself the fact that now it is Shmini Atzeres. So how do you treat that window of time when it comes to Sukkah? In Eretz Yisrael, are you eating in or out? In America, for those who would eat in the Sukkah without a bracha, you make a bracha? You don't make a bracha. How do you treat that window of time? So the Taz says, absolutely no problem. The Taz writes, when you're Mosif, Mechola Kodesh, the language of the Taz, Kfar Holach V'cholachim Chova Sayom, Havdi Kalayla V'machar Mamish. The next day has begun. And therefore, it is Shmini Atzeres, and therefore treated as Shmini Atzeres, and the Taz writes the same thing this time of year. You can have your Suda during Tosefta Shabbos, you can bench before Shkia, and that is called Ichlu Hayom. Fine, you fulfill the mitzvah. And the Marshal disagrees. The Marshal quotes the Sefer HaChassidim that maintains that no, that is not true at all. You have to make sure to have a kazayis of pas after Tzeitzah Kochavim. You'll daven early, no problem, but see to it. Divrei Torah, Zmiras, the Suda will continue into the night, and after Tzeitzah, have a kazayis because of Ichlu Hayom. So, in terms of our two halachos, that could also be a significant difference. Oneg does not necessarily require Laila. After all, when it comes to Oneg, the Karasa L'Shabbos Oneg, if it's good enough for Kiddush, and it's good enough for Davening, perhaps that's good enough for Oneg as well. The reason that the Marshal, the Sefer Chassidim, writes that it's necessary to see to it that after Tzeis you will have, is because of Ichlu Hayom. So a further difference between Oneg as opposed to Ichlu Hayom is, according to the Marshal of Sefer Chassidim, the need for Laila. They assume Laila is necessary, but only as far as Ichlu Hayom is concerned. See, it's interesting. Taking their view, I could have gone a step further. I could have said, well, you know what? The Pasuk says Ichlu Hayom, and therefore, you know what? Make sure to have the Sud at night. They don't say to have the Suda at night. They say, make Kiddush and begin the Suda, but make sure that you'll have Achila after Tzeitzah Kochavim. Well, if you need space, so what about the whole first three quarters of the meal? The answer is no. They will agree that that is part of the mitzvah of Oneg. It's just that you also have to fulfill the Ichlu Hayom, so for that it's sufficient to have a Kazayis Balayla. They don't argue that you have to wait like the Seder night, wait until Tzeis to start. Just see to it that the Seder continues and that you'll have Achila in order to accommodate Ichlu Hayom. If that's true, so I would suggest the following difference. That halacha of the Marshal, the Sefer HaChassidim, Mishabru quotes that the Chatila, that a person should make sure to have a Kazayis Lachatzeis if you make Shabbos early. That applies on Shabbos. Would that apply on Yantif? A person makes Yantif early. Does he have to see to it that he will have a Kazayis Tepas after Tzeitzah Kochavim? Well, what's driving that halach is mentioned is not the mitzvah of Oneg, but rather Ichlu Hayom. And if Ichlu Hayom only applies on Shabbos, and it doesn't apply on Yantif, we only have two meals, so therefore, perhaps one could suggest that even the Marshal the Sefer HaChassidim that write, extend the meal, that's only true when it comes to Shabbos, but not when it comes to Yontif. So you leave tonight shir, when it comes to Yontif, you don't have to extend the meal. How relevant is that Kiddush? Well, not so relevant. When it comes to Pesach, so the Mechaber writes, in an Kiddush HaShetechshach, you have to wait until night even to start the meal. And when it comes to Sukkot, the Shulchan Aruch writes, that's part of Tesvav Tesvav, that you have to wait until night even to start the meal when it comes to Sukkot as well. And when it comes to Shavuos, you know, that's the Taz and the Magen Avraham Tmimos, wait until Tzeis HaKochavim even to start the meal. And Shmini Atzeres, again, we pointed out to Marshall that you have to wait until phase four, the Sukkah issue. So, in principle, it sounds like a beautiful naskamina, but it doesn't apply on Pesach, Shavuos, or Sukkot. What about Yom Tov Achron of Pesach, the last days of Pesach? Would one have to see to it that the Suda will end after things? So perhaps one could suggest that no, in that case, it is not necessary. You could start the meal early, and you could continue, you could bench before Tzeis, even according to the view of the Marshal. So, it doesn't have so many nafkaminas of each and every Yom Tov, because of other considerations. But a Yom Tov Achron Shel Pesach, where one could certainly start early, as many did, for example, this year, is it necessary to go ahead and to have a Kazayis of Paslach Arteis? One could argue, perhaps, yes, but if the lumdus is Ichlu Hayom, and Ichlu Hayom only applies to the case of Shabbos, and it doesn't apply to the instance of Yom Tov, so perhaps if that is true, then one could bench, even according to the Marshal, before Seis HaKochavim. But it's interesting, the Gemara just simply tells us there are two different sugyas of Suda Shabbos, but when you delve a little more carefully, so many possible differences in our understanding the structure of Suda Shabbos and Suda Yom Tov, whether the chiyuv is based on the mitzvah of Oneg, or whether it's based on the obligation of Ichlu Hayom. Rosh Bereshit once pointed out an interesting chiddush when it comes to the obligation of Suda Shabbos. That the Gemara tells us in Sachim and Daf Samaches Amud Beis that how is it that one commemorates, one celebrates a Shabbos, one celebrates a Yom Tov, the Gemara quotes a stira of two psukim. Either Atzeres is Moshem Lokechem, or Atzeres is Lochem. The Torah seems to contradict. How is it that you celebrate Yom Tov? Lashem means Torah and Fila. On the other hand, Lachem seems to indicate celebrating physically having a Chiyav Suda. So the Gemara says, you know, how do you resolve that apparent contradiction? This is a machlokas, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer maintains that, you know what, the Torah is giving us options. O Kul Hashem, O Kul Lachem. You have a choice. How do you want to celebrate Sudas Yom Tov, for example? You could go ahead and celebrate Simchas Yom Tov rather through Suda, or Rabbi Eliezer says the ideal is through Limud HaTorah. As I've mentioned many times in the past, the Gemara describes in the beginning of second parak of Maseches Beis that the Rabbi Eliezer used to give shir through the entire day of Yom Tov. Minimal eating, but shir, that was the focus of the mitzvah on Yom Tov itself. The Gemara describes how gradually the Talmidim would split out right during the shir of Rabbi Eliezer, right after all, because some achila they felt was in order. Rabbi Yeshua says, as we assume lacha that no, chalkeyu, chatzi l'ashem, chatzi l'achem. You're obligated to divide the day. Rabbi Yosef Engel even points out an interesting possibility that maybe this is not merely a detailed machlokes regarding, for example, Yom Tov, but perhaps it's a broader issue. Whenever we have shnei ksuvim, hamachishim zezer, we always look for a kasuv hashlishi, she'achriya b'neihim. It sounds as though there's a contradiction. Let's look for a separate source, a third pasuk that will tell us, under circumstance A, you apply this pasuk, and circumstance B, you apply that pasuk. What if you can't find the kasuv hashlishi? There's no pasuk that indicates that under these circumstances, do this, and other circumstances, do that. That, Rabbi Yosef Engel suggests, is the machlokes, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. That means, according to Rabbi Eliezer, if there's no pasuk that says here and there, so therefore the Torah is giving you options, either or. And Rabbi Yeshua maintains, no, if there's no pasuk to tell us, this applies here, this applies there, you always must accommodate both. And that is why chelkeinu, chatzi l'ashem, and chatzi l'achem. So therefore, that is how we assume on Yom Tov, and the Rambam writes this even when it comes to Shabbos, in Perek Lamed of Shabbos, and that is that a person is obligated to divide the day, Chatzi l'Hashem, Chatzi l'Achem. It's interestingly, the Rambam could have simply said that divide your day. Make sure that the day is devoted to Kadosh Baruch Hu, Torah and Tzila. Make sure the day includes the mitzvah of Oneg, the mitzvah of Ichlu Hayom. But the Rambam gives you a whole schedule. Now the Rambam tells us the following. Shabbos starts, you daven. And after you finish davening, then you have a Suda Shabbos. And then you get up in the morning, and you daven. And after you finish, you have a Suda Shabbos. And then Mincha, you daven, and then you have Shalosh Shabbos. the Rambam seems to go out of his way to emphasize what Rav Soloveitchik felt was in Seder, that Chassid Hashem and Chassid Hachem is not arbitrary, but rather only when you have satisfied the Chassid Hashem, you have fulfilled the mitzvah Hatzila, therefore, one now that is a matir, that allows one to engage in the Chassid Hachem. And therefore the Rambam tells us that rotating order of Lashem Lachem followed three times in series during the day of Shabbos. With this in mind, you understand the Ramah, where the Ramah quotes one day in Reish Sadi Aleph that it is best to have Shalashudis after Tfilas Mincha. It is certainly necessary to have Shalashudis after the Zman HaMincha. That's always the problem of Erev Pesach, which falls out on Shabbos. How do you have Shalashudis? What do you eat? We'll have it very early in the morning. The downside of that is because, generally speaking, Shalosh Shudis is during the Zman HaMincha. And Ramah goes a step further and writes, La'achar Tzimas Mincha. And what is the basis of that Ramah? Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that Seder of the Rambam, Chatzim Hashem, Chatzim Lachem. And there is even a further view. If you look in the Maaser Rav of the Vilna Gaon, there the Gaon, right, in terms of Minhagi Agra, follows the view of Ra'avan, where the Ravan writes the following chiddush. Let's assume this time of year. You want to daven bizman, but it's hard. It means you're not going to get home until very, very late. And shuls, generally, it's not so practical to tell you, you know what, go home after Kabbalah Shabbos, have your meal, and then come back. You know, daven ma'ariv. In a yeshiva setting, that sounds very reasonable. No, everyone is on campus, everyone is there, so go ahead and daven mincha, daven Kabbalah Shabbos, daven early enough that it's maschal beheter, have your meal, after the meal is over, go, daven marav, you'll daven bizman. So the Gaon writes, one should not do so. One should not do so. The Gaon does not explain why that is true. If you look in the Siddur HaGra, on the very bottom it writes that, not sure what the source of this halacha is, what's wrong with the Gaon you're doing so? Of course, if you're maschal beheter, Rav Soloveitchik suggests it's exactly that point of the Chatzil Hashem and Chatzil Hachem. Only one who is satisfied the chiyuv of chatzil Hashem, the kiyum tefila, then that is a matir. That is what allows you now to go and to engage in that secondary obligation of the chatzil Hashem. And even in terms of the zmanei hatfila in principle, that might sound ideal, but nonetheless in practice, a person should not make kiddush and have the Suda Shabbos until he has already davened marid. That's the indication of the Gaon. Just as the Rama writes that ideally Minchan and Shalosh Shudis, the same thing is true when it comes to Lel Shabbos. These are various aspects of the elements of Suda Shabbos and Suda Yantiv. Two fascinating sugyas: the issue of Ichlu Hayom, the mitzvah of Oneg, with many possible differences, and the Chiddush that when it comes to Yantiv there is a mitzvah of Oneg, but Ichlu Hayom perhaps is unique to Shabbos. On Yantiv, two meals. On Shabbos, the three meals, that accounts for the many differences between the last meal of Shalosh Shudis as opposed to the two main meals, which are rooted as well in the mitzvah of Oneg. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.